I could just do that all morning. I'd be happy with that. And you know, it's what we come for, is to hear from him, to meet with him, to let our hearts be changed by his love and his truth. Amen? So this morning, I want to continue going through the Lord's Prayer. And today we're going to jump into Luke 11, verse 4. Let's read the whole thing together just because it's a good prayer. All right, so he said to them, when you pray, say, and let's read this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So today we're going to focus on the start of verse 4. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And so we're going to talk about forgiveness, which is really easy to talk about and not as easy to do. I think we all know that. Everyone, if you're a living, breathing human being, you've been offended, you've been annoyed, you've been hurt by someone, and you've had to wrestle with, how do I forgive? And so it is a challenge, but it is something that it's not a suggestion in the Bible. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are called, commanded, and told to forgive. Amen? All right, here we go. I got you nervous already. I was listening when I was driving across town this week, and I hit the radio, and I was listening to some news thing, and they quoted someone from James River Cree Nation, and they're doing I forget what it's called, some kind of inquisition, whatever. They're looking into what happened, and one of the people they interviewed said this, and I thought it just hit me. His name is Eddie Head, and he's the justice director and an uncle of Miles Sanderson. And if you recall just the horrific things that happened there, this is what he said. He said, if you want to heal, you have to learn to forgive. And if you can't forgive, you'll never heal. And I was like, wow. So I had to Google it and look up exactly the wording, what he said. I can't imagine what James Smith Cree Nation has gone through. I can't imagine going through something like that. I can't imagine some of the hardships that you've faced in your life, that were things that have happened to you, people that have done things. What I do know is that it's never, ever easy to forgive people when they hurt you, but yet it's something that we have to do. If we're a Christian, we actually don't have the right to hold on to bitterness. We don't have the right to hold on to offense. And so in the version of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, I just want to read Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. This is what Jesus tags on at the end. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Oof. And so it's a very sobering reminder that we don't have a choice. Like, we are called. We are forgiven as we forgive. And that cuts deep, because sometimes we've been hurt badly, and it's really hard. You know, Jesus goes from talking about our daily bread to talking about our sin, going from physical needs to spiritual needs, our emotional needs. We have a regular need to invite him to meet every area of our life, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Amen? And so I really believe the model of this prayer is to show us that daily, every day, we need to come to him to express our honor, our gratitude to him, and also to learn to express our needs and dependence on him, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually, so that we can be free, that we can know him. Amen? And so we honestly have a battle with sin. I don't care who you are, there is a struggle, because we have a body that's made of flesh. And it wants to do what's easy. It wants to do what feels good. It wants to do, it wants the things of the world. And so just as we jump into this, I just want to remind you some really basic theology around forgiveness. But I think it's really important to remind ourselves, because it affects how we look at God, our Father. And so I just want to remind you that Jesus came to deal for all of our sin, all the sin of the world, once and for all on the cross. Amen? Okay? He dealt with the wrath of God for all of our sin on the cross once and for all. Otherwise, every time someone new gave their heart to the Lord, he would have to go and die again to cover that. But he did it once and for all on the cross. Oh, you with me? Okay? It's really important to understand that. That has been paid. And we have freely received the gift of salvation and freedom through Jesus because of his sacrifice on the cross. So we have freely been given it. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We never could earn it or deserve it. It's a debt that we could never pay, but it's been given to us freely. And the Bible says now in turn, go freely give. And so just like you've been forgiven freely through Jesus, we're called to forgive one another freely. Which means that, you know, and it's important to understand that, because if we think that we earn our way to salvation, if we think that we earn our way into God's good books, we expect everyone else to do the same. So when they do something to us, we expect them to earn their way to us. We expect them to earn forgiveness. Well, I'd forgive them if they asked, but you know, they don't really behave like this and they don't do this. So, you know, no, I don't want to give them that. I want to hold that over them, right? And that's where our natural flesh goes, because we think, I want to manipulate, I want to control, instead of being able to freely forgive and freely let it go like Jesus did with us. What happens is we often forget about the really big debt that Jesus took from us. And we look at the others and say, it's not enough. You don't deserve my attention, my forgiveness, my love, my affection, my honor because of what you did to me. Remember, I might poke you today, but you have to forgive me. We're talking about forgiveness. When we become a Christian, it's about surrendering our lives. And we say that, but surrendering is actually hard to do. So when we surrender, we actually have to surrender our past. We have to surrender our future. We have to surrender our rights and our will, and everything gets surrendered to Jesus so that he is Lord of our life. Amen? It's not just something that we say as nice words to say, but we actually have to surrender and submit ourselves to Jesus. He is Lord. He is King. He is over us as we become a Christian and follow him, right? Okay? So, yes, the Bible talks about him being like a friend. Yes, we talk about being children, but he is Lord and King too. And so we have to remember that he is over us. And that means that I have to submit to him. I can't say I'm going to do my own thing. I can't say I'm going to hold on to this area of my life. You know, God, you can have all this, but I am really ticked at so-and-so, and they had better earn their way back into my good graces. Can't do that. You have no right to hang on to anything that Jesus paid for on the cross, which is your sin or the sin that others have committed against you. And that is a really important key to remind ourselves that, you know, Jesus even put it in the Lord's Prayer, I think, to remind ourselves every day that, Lord, forgive me for my sin as I forgive others. Help me, God, to carry that heart and that attitude of forgiveness. I don't know if you ever notice this, but when you're around people, you have the opportunity to be offended and annoyed all the time. You plus anybody, I don't care who it is, you plus anybody, and you'll find yourself annoyed with the opportunity to be offended. And so you have to learn how to deal with it. I think there's two things to think about here. The reason that Jesus wants us to repent, wants us to forgive and be forgiven, is that number one, any sin in our life, what does it do? It separates us from God. We are designed to live in intimacy and in closeness with God, have an intimate relationship. And any sin that's allowed to be there drives a wedge between us and God. Amen? It's the same thing with people around us. We are called to live in relationship. And God created marriage, he created friendships, he created all these things as examples for us that we're called to do life together, to have connection, to have intimacy. Well, what does sin do? It drives a wedge, unforgiveness. If I won't let go, if I will not forgive, then that relationship is harmed. And if I refuse to work on it, that relationship is over. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands, but I'm pretty sure that probably all of us have had relationships that when someone has done something and hurt us, we felt it was just too much work and effort and hard to ever rebuild that reconciliation, that trust, and actually have a relationship again. So we just let it go. I'm sure you can think back. There's one, two, three, however many people that you've just been like, you know what? I want to, but it's too hard. And we just move on. And so it takes hard work, but we are called to deal with the sin that's in our life so that we can be forgiven and so that we can forgive. Are you with me? All right. So again, just a simple reminder, sin is just simply when we miss the mark. When we do not do what God created us to do, when we disobey him, when we go and do things that are against his character and his nature. And there can be the sin of something that we do, or when we know that we ought to do something and we don't do it. You know, that's also can be sin, right? And so there, what happens when we sin is there is this debt. If some of you, if you like accounting or if you like to picture something, you can think of a bank account, all right? And when you sin, you're dropping things into that account. And what happened is Jesus paid for the debt that is owed in that account. And so the sin is removed. And through Jesus, we have the righteousness of God. We become the righteousness of God. So righteousness is put into our account. Does that make sense? And so he takes that debt away and he puts in righteousness. And so to forgive is to wipe the slate clean. And Jesus offers forgiveness to all of us, to anyone who calls on him. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. When you talk to God, you know, be specific. Tell him, Lord, I'm sorry because I lied to so-and-so. I'm sorry, Lord, because I mistreated my coworker. I'm sorry because of the attitude. I'm sorry because I should have done this and I didn't. Like, literally lay it all out there for him so that it's not because he doesn't know what's going on, but it's so that your heart can heal. There's something that comes, and I really believe even that's why as kids, when we grow up, we're supposed to be disciplined because it allows us to learn how to get rid of the debt that we carry when we have that guilt and shame because, man, I didn't listen to my parents, I blew it, I screwed up, and whether we're caught or whether we come to them, there needs to be this exchange of, there's a consequence, but I forgive you, and I still affirm you that I love you and you're a good child, right? And understand that with God, there is consequence to our sin, but he still will always forgive us and love us and affirm us. And so for us, it's important, I think, to just really be clear. Lord, I messed up, and here's what happened in my life. Here's what I did. And so it brings healing to your heart. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, we often believe the lie. I think that, you know, I don't know if God's in a good mood today and he might not forgive me. We kind of get that kind of thinking going like, will he really forgive me today? The Bible tells us he will. He is faithful. He will forgive you. We have to receive that in faith. We have to believe, but it is done. It was done on the cross. It's over. The wrath of God was poured out on Christ on the cross. We have to always remember that. The price has been paid. Jeremiah 31:34 says, I will remember their sin no more. And Micah speaks of casting our sins into the depths of the sea. Again, in Psalms it says, you know, he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. But there's several examples of pictures where our sin is just done. It's gone. He takes it away. And that's the picture to understand that you can be confident in Christ knowing that I am forgiven and free. He isn't, you know, he doesn't have a record. You know, if you can imagine a filing cabinet here and it was like, well, let's look at Holly's life. And you know, for some, maybe the file comes to here. For some of us, the file, you know, comes out a long way and we start to look. He doesn't remember all that. He doesn't, you know, I think if we're honest, many of us have remembered things that people have done to us. And so, you know, you might bring it up a day, a week, a month, or 10 years later. Remember that time you did this to me. But Jesus says it's gone. He chooses. You know, it's not that he actually has a bad memory. It's that he chooses not to remember your sin. That needs to get in our heart here to understand he actually wipes the slate clean. There is no guilt and there's no condemnation for you as a follower of Christ. What that does is it allows you to have confidence and the boldness, like the Bible says, to come boldly before him because you are free of all guilt. You can come to him. He's a good father who will only give you good gifts. But if you don't believe that, you will pray differently. You will be concerned about coming near him. You will treat other people differently. So again, we have to deal with our sin. Sin separates us from God. Secondly, sin separates us from other people. And that's why we need to learn to forgive just as we've been forgiven. We're called to love people. We're called to be close to people. And of course, sin, whatever shape or form, will destroy that. Charles Spurgeon said, go to Calvary to learn how you may be forgiven, and then linger there to learn how to forgive. If I was going to define forgiveness, I would simply say it's the act of setting someone free. It's choosing to not hold anything over them anymore for what they've done. We're in favor of forgiveness when we want it, when we need it, but it's sometimes hard to actually give it freely, isn't it? So let me ask you this. If forgiveness is setting someone free, who do you need to set free today in your life? Who are you holding a grudge against? Who are you holding bitterness against? Who are you holding in your life that you're like, I will not let them go because they did this to me. They deserve my anger, my punishment, my wrath. Romans 12, verse 17 to 21 says, revenge is not the answer. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I'm sure I'm not the only one that when someone has done something particularly brutal to me, the thought runs through your mind, I would like to take vengeance right now. Or what happens is somebody says something or does something, and then you replay it over and over, and you start to, you replay the movie, and then you start to think about, well, next time I see them, I'm going to say this and this and this, and I'm going to make them feel this small, and you think about how I could take vengeance. And God says, don't do it. It's not our job. Instead of revenge, we're called to bring kindness and tenderheartedness and love to them, to forgive. We forgive because we're forgiven. I spent a fair bit of time just reading in Ephesians this week, in Ephesians 4, and it talks about the church. It talks about, again, the way our attitude should be towards one another. I'll get into that in a minute here. Let's read Ephesians 4, 30 to 32. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we're called to forgive. We can forgive because we've been forgiven. I just want you to think about, unforgiveness in your life, any area, any unforgiveness. It costs you emotionally. It costs you in your, just even in your mental health, because it's like you want to punish the other person in your mind, but you're punishing yourself. I don't know how many times I've heard some version of this phrase, and I've heard it attributed to like six different people, but they talk about how unforgiveness is like drinking poison thinking you'll hurt the other person. I don't know who actually said it. I've heard many people claimed, it's so-and-so, I don't know who, but it's true. Whoever said it, it's true. And so we put ourselves through mental anguish and torment because we choose to hold on to this stuff. And unforgiveness will lead down the road to bitterness. Did you know when you're angry with someone, it doesn't fix them? But we get this attitude, don't we? I'm going to withhold honor or respect or affection for you because I want to inflict as much emotional damage as I can because I don't believe that Christ sanctifies, I believe my anger does. We kind of get that attitude. We might not actually articulate it that way, but that's what we're thinking. When we think, I'm angry and I'm going to withhold from you, I'm going to hold back from you, it's because we think that the blood of Jesus wasn't enough. mean, that's what we're saying. We might not agree with that if we were to say that out loud, but that's what we're saying. And I really believe that even unforgiveness, it costs you emotionally, it costs you in your friendships and relationships because it does damage. Unforgiveness causes even the way you approach God. It will affect your theology. Because you start to think, you know, our attitude becomes, you know, the blood of Jesus is enough to satisfy the triune God, but I require more. Somehow, you know, it's not enough for me. And that's simply because that says I have not submitted and surrendered to Jesus. There's a part of my life that I'm holding on to. The one who spoke heaven and earth into existence can forgive you for your sin because of the death of his son. However, I have a higher standard than the Creator for what you've done to me, and we hold it over people. And if that's how we view forgiveness, and we take that attitude towards God, it impacts our relationship and how we view him. The forgiveness that Christ purchased for you on the cross has transformed you, and now you have the ability to forgive and to be reconciled. Ephesians 2:13 says this. It says, now in Christ Jesus you were once, sorry, do the next one where it's got 14 as well. You were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Jesus made peace with us on the cross, and if he made peace with us on the cross, we can have peace with each other. Amen? You guys okay? All right. Jesus paid for the sin that you commit, and he's paid for the sin that people have committed against you. Can you forgive them as easily as he's forgiven you? I shouldn't say as easily, but as fully. When you think about this, forgiveness means I give up my right to punish you. I give up my right to punish you. Forgiveness does not mean that I don't confront sin. It doesn't mean that what happened to you wasn't real. It doesn't mean that the pain isn't real. It doesn't mean that the damage isn't real. You don't deny all of that, but forgiveness simply says, I give up my right to punish you because of it. I believe that God's heart is for us to be reconciled with others. But we need his wisdom in that too, don't we? Reconciliation takes two people. Forgiveness takes one. Reconciliation takes two people saying, oh yeah, we're going to make this work. I'm sorry. The damage has been done, but let's rebuild this relationship. But you can actually forgive without the other person coming to you. You can forgive because I've had people who will refuse to meet with me and deal with whatever they've done. And that is the most painful. Because they know they've done something. And you're trying to do the right thing, and they refuse to come to you. That hurts. It's hard. And it's like they're trying to hold it over you. And the only way you can be free is to actually forgive. So forgiveness doesn't rely on the other person. It relies on you. And there, I do believe God's heart is for us to reconcile, but sometimes it's impossible. Sometimes it's not wise. In situations of abuse or whatever, you know, there should be distance. But use God's wisdom. What's dangerous is when our heart says, I'm going to withhold from you because I don't believe you're worthy to come near me. I'm going to withhold. I'm going to turn my head the other way. I'm going to turn my back on you every time I see you. I'm not going to allow you the opportunity to come near. Because I want to hold something over you because I don't want to forgive. You ever notice kids do that? Kids will come to their parents and say, hey, I want to do this or I want that. And when you say no, all of a sudden they're like, and they got this little attitude and they turn their back to you. And it's like, I'm going to withhold love from you because, you know, I'm not going to let you hug me. I'm not going to let you look at me because you didn't give me what I want. And that's simply what unforgiveness is. Okay, I'm going to read a couple scriptures to you and give you one last thought and we'll end. Colossians chapter 2 says, you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. He, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. It's done on the cross. It's finished. All right, he did it. Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Jumping back to Ephesians 4 for a second, it says this in verse 22 to 24, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. We are called to be like God. He is holy. And we're called to be holy like him. Amen? Okay? So that means that sin matters. And we can't be okay with it just lurking over here in parts of our life. Which means things like unforgiveness can't stay there. Because we're called to be like him. You are a new creation. You have a new nature if you're in Christ. If you have accepted him, invited him in. You are made new. But then you have to live like it. You have to put that on. And as we do that, he changes us. He transforms us from the inside out. He gives us a new nature. We think differently. We look at people differently. We're able to look through his compassion and his love towards others. And that's so, so important. In Ephesians 4, in verse 29, when you keep reading in there, depending what version you're using, it says, don't let a corrupt word, don't let unwholesome talk, like whatever version what you're reading, it says, you know, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to your needs, that it may benefit those who listen. When you read through the scripture, he's talking about building something. What's he talking about? He's talking about the church. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says this, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. If you're a Christian, you're a part of the family. Amen? And that is what the Holy Spirit is building, the bride for Christ. And so he's building us. We belong together. We are one. We're called to fellowship together. And so in Ephesians 4, when it's challenging us, don't treat each other like this. Don't tear down don't corrode, don't do things that will grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? Because what is the Holy Spirit trying to build? The church. The Holy Spirit is trying to build a church. And when we trash each other and attack each other, we're actually coming against God, which is kind of sobering to think about. The church, his bride, us, a body of believers, we all belong to Christ and one another. And in chapter 4, verse 32, the forgiveness it's talking about is the context of the body of Christ, belonging to one another as fellow citizens of the kingdom. We're not saying that the Bible doesn't tell us to forgive people that are not Christians. There's lots of scripture for that. But in this specific context, it's talking about the importance of striving to care for one another and love each other within the context of his body. That's us, the church. So our relationship with one another matters. It's significant to the Lord because we are his church. You following? And so it's incredibly important. The enemy wants to do anything he can to bring offense and division and criticism and separation within the church. And not just in local individual bodies, but the church as a whole. And I don't know if you've noticed this the last while, but man, as he worked overtime, the enemy is trying to divide, trying to get people to hate each other, call each other out, attack each other. And it's a ploy of the enemy. We are called to forgive one another. Sometimes it seems like the hardest people to forgive are the people across the row. And I think sometimes we think, well, they're a Christian. They know better. They shouldn't behave like that. And we carry this grudge, this vengeance. But when we can't forgive each other, we leave a terrible example for the world around us. They look and they think, those hypocrites. They say they love, and yet they can't even get along. You ever thought about Jesus prayed in John 17, he prayed for unity amongst believers. I don't know if you noticed this, but I think Jesus had a good track record of his prayers being answered. His heart was for the church, the body, to be united, to love each other, to care for each other, because we are his bride. And I just, as I was preparing for this, I really felt to focus on this today because it is so important. And I think we often just think that we have free rein, especially online, to attack, to judge, to criticize, to rip others apart. If I were to stand here today and start complaining and criticizing and trashing Jeff's paintings, that would be brutal. And if I were to say that, you know, that they're not the right style, the right kind, I don't even know anything about art, so I can't even attempt to critique it. You know what I mean? But if I were to like say, well, that's the wrong style, or this or that, or start to criticize it, it would be an awful thing to do to Jeff. Even if Jeff isn't here right now, he's working today or whatever, right? But I'm doing it in front of you. Did you know that every single one of us is created in the image of God? We are a reflection of him. We are, the Bible says, we're his handiwork. And do you know what happens when I criticize you as a believer of Jesus, as a follower of him, as a child of God? I'm criticizing God's handiwork. Let's just let that sink in a little bit. I might not even agree with your theology, or I might not agree with the ministry that I see online or whatever, and I might think, well, that gives me the right to go on Facebook or wherever and say, don't follow those people and don't listen, don't do that. Listen, when you attach a person behind your attack, you are criticizing the handiwork of God. Be careful. Is it wrong to discuss what we believe? No, absolutely not. And there's nothing wrong with sitting down and saying, okay, I've heard this teaching. This is what I agree with, or this is what I don't. We can work that out. But to stand here and attack people, even if their lives are very public and we don't necessarily like things about them, if they love Jesus and are doing their best and we are standing here criticizing them, we're attacking the Lord. And I see a lot of these memes and a lot of things thrown around by Christians, and it grieves my heart. And I just felt like I needed to address that today. Be careful when you're attacking people, because those people are people that God created and loves. And just because you don't like what they think doesn't give you free rein to trash them. And then we need to watch our mouth too, because sometimes we get in a group of people and we think somebody gets brought up and it's easy to just, well, now that three people said something negative about them, why don't I jump in too? Be careful. When you're doing that, you're going against what the Holy Spirit is trying to do to build his church. I was praying about this because I saw something recently and it just bothered me. And I was like, Lord, why does this even bother me so much? Because it's nothing to do with me. It's people not even in this country. And yet it just, inside. And I was like, what is this? And I ended up listening to some random podcast while I was driving somewhere. And they started talking about, you know, how we are all made. We might reflect our faith in a different way. We might, you can look at it like this. Different denominations, different streams of Christianity. We're just on a different looking team. But we're all on the same team. My son plays hockey. He plays on a team. There's people that play in the NHL. There's people that play beer league hockey. There's people, like, there's all kinds of different hockey teams, and yet it's all the sport of hockey. And we have to be careful in saying that there's something wrong with the person, even though they might be working, they're doing their best to follow God. Am I making sense? We can look at the fruit and we can talk about the fruit, but be careful when you attack the person. I don't believe we have any business doing that. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come. We're going to take communion. I just want you to think about how much you've been forgiven. You've been forgiven so much. It is so easy to start looking at others and to try and attack, to try and think there's something wrong with them, there's something wrong with what they've done or what they believe or that ministry or this version of, you know, this denomination, whatever it might be. And even if they're not right in what they say or do, I have to leave that to God. I don't have to listen to their teaching. I don't have to follow it. I don't have to agree with it, but I have no business attacking them personally. Did I put that whole chunk there in one chunk, that Ephesians 4, 30, 32? It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you. Do not grieve him by the way that we act, by the way that we live, by the way that we mistreat other people. We're called to be kind, to love, to be tenderhearted. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So as we end today, we're going to take communion in a few minutes. And I would like for us to just take a few moments to, again, just reflect, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is there anything in my heart, any sin that is not dealt with that I need to deal with today? And then deal with it. I read 1 John 1:9 earlier. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. He wants you to be free. He knows what you've done. You're not hiding it from him. Just give it to him so you can be free. And then I know that that can be hard, but the harder part usually is forgiving other people. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if there is unforgiveness in your heart and in your life, would you deal with it? Would you, before going to take communion, would you do your best to deal with it in your heart? And I'll be honest with you. I used to think before I'd really been hurt by some people different times in my life that, well, it's not that hard, you know? And then when you've really been hurt by somebody, I understand it's not that easy. And when people close to you have rejected or betrayed or done something to you that, you know, it is hard to shake. It is not just a one-off, well, I forgive them, but it's something that we have to learn to choose to do every day. And so that when we, our mind brings up the movie that we want to replay, that I hate what they did to me, and the temptation is to say, God, I hate them. And we want to attack what God has made. And I have to say, God, help me to love. Help me to forgive. I hate what they did to me. It was wrong. It hurt. But I forgive, which means I choose to set them free from anything that they owe me. I choose to let go of the right to punish them. Because I want to be free. And we have to forgive ourselves. I never even got there. Yeah. And that can be hard too. So take a few minutes. I'm going to put communion, actually we'll just leave communion up there, and when you're ready, go grab it.